Hi, this is Tony, the host of the Flix X-Raid podcast. Each week, I am joined by guests.
Ew.
Hello.
Yo.
Why, hello there.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
And we have a roundtable discussion where we dig deep and X-ray a bunch of our favorite films and some really terrible ones, too. We really like to go back and take a look at films that may be forgotten, maybe in the past, and still lovable films. If you want, you can follow us on all the major platforms, iTunes, Google, Stitcher.
If you want to find out more, you can find us online at www.flixxray.com.
And you can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram if you want to reach out to us. Good night, Internet.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I am your host, Jason Bishop, and with me today, well, there's nobody. I'm here alone in the studio, but I'm not doing the heavy lifting today. I'm just introducing this episode. We sent Trish Coughlin out to the Okotoks Film Festival, aka OFF, and she got to interview a couple of the filmmakers there about their short films that were being featured at the festival. First up will be Daniel Christofferson, who is from Norway and produced a short film called Swan Song, followed by the trailer. We'll run the trailer for you. And we'll put a link in the description because it is in multiple languages, including English, but you might want to watch the full trailer on YouTube. And after that, she has a conversation with Jade Andrasu, and I apologize if I screwed up her name. I wasn't there to ask her what her full name was, so hopefully I got pretty close. But Jade's a young filmmaker from Canada, and she did a short film called The Things I Wish I Said But Never Did. And then we'll close out the show. That's going to fill this episode, this special episode of Invasion of the Remake. We hope you enjoy stepping out and doing something a little different this week. We're going to, now that the world's opened up, we're going to try to hit a few more of these events and bring you some other type of content, some interviews and things like that. So check it out. Jade's an interesting filmmaker too, because this is her first short film. She's still in high school and she's already making film festivals. So definitely a young filmmaker to watch out for. And without further ado, here's our first interview. The sound, I should say, was produced by Tony from Flix X-Raid. So thanks for inviting us out to this event, and thanks for handling the sound duties for this episode. And here we go. Here's Trish Coughlin.
Hi, this is Patricia Coughlin from Invasion of the Remake. Thank you, Tony from Flix X-Raid, who's here doing the sound here. And I'm speaking with
Daniel,
who brought us Swan Song.
I sure did.
A lovely little short. I guess off the bat, where did the idea for Swan Song come together?
Yeah, so the film is about two Scandinavians who are on a work trip to Wales. And while they're driving through the countryside at night, they accidentally run over a swan. And they discover that in the UK, all swans belong to the Queen for some reason. And therefore, killing a swan is treason. And therefore, when they are encountering a policewoman on patrol, they then, you know, are threatened with treason. And we see how this affects their friendship and sort of work relationship as it's put under strain, which, yeah, is kind of a strange plot.
It's a great plot. Like, yeah. I mean, the one big thing I noticed is when you had them discover that, yeah, because all the swans are owned by the Queen,
yeah,
this small little accident is all of a sudden treason.
Sure.
Which it is kind of a great impetus for an idea where it's like, okay, so all the swans, every single swan.
The Queen loves swans. I don't know what it is.
I guess, yeah. Like, isn't she the only one really allowed to eat them as well?
That's interesting. I don't know if I know if she's the only one allowed to eat them, but that would be interesting. Maybe that's a different short
that's
idea.
That's part two?
Yeah, that's part two. The Queen is hungry and we're going to get her some swans. I don't know. Actually, the truth is, I only tell this post-film. I think nowadays it's no longer treason, but it was recent history. I think it was like 2012. It was still treason.
Yeah.
And there was like stuff in the press, like someone kills a swan and now they're like being arrested and it was like a whole thing. I think the idea for me, like I in my head, I swear that someone told me the story that it happened to them or they knew someone it happened to and they like had to hide the swan in like their boot or something. And I for some reason can't remember when I was told this, where it was, but I just have this feeling that I was told this story and wrote it down like, because the note I had on my phone was just, it's swan, but not it's goose, like really broken English, like jotted down fast. And like, what could inspire that? I don't know. I don't walk around looking at swans and thinking, they look a bit like white geese. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I swear someone told me the story. I just don't remember who it was or when. So whoever it was, if it was true, and it wasn't sort of a premonition that came to me in a dream, thank you so much for the inspiration.
It's a wonderful idea. Now that you bring it up like that, where they would have to hide it in the boot, I just imagine a Guy Ritchie version that you could do where they're trying to get rid of the swan.
Yeah.
Turns out to just be a goose. But I guess my second question is, why whales?
Why whales? So there's a few reasons. One was a logistical idea. Mm-hmm. And so like my friend Oscar, who I have a production company with, he's from Wales. And he has like this family house out in the countryside in Wales. And because the film is going to be set in the countryside, like a quiet countryside road, we're thinking like, where could we find that road? And he's like, oh, I know the perfect road in Wales. We could do it. That was so perfect. And then I was thinking about like, oh, like story-wise or more comedy-wise, like one, Scandinavian accents I've always found really funny. I'm half Norwegian. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced a lot of Scandinavian English.
Yeah.
And they speak great English, but it's so hard for them to lose that strong accent. And I've always found it so funny. It's like my party trick to like bring out the Scandinavian voice. It's like a crowd pleaser. You're nodding encouraging, like, are you going to do the voice or not? I'll do the voice briefly. Yes. Sorry, Norwegian people, but this is obviously people find it very funny, but it's just like, they go like, hello, I'm from Norway. And I take a long pause. And like, that's just the way they do it. And I always find that really very entertaining, that accent. But also the Welsh accent is even more fun.
Love it.
Such an amazing accent. Crazy range of like sounds and intonations.
It's very sing-song.
So sing-songy, so distinct. Really good for comedy. Like a show like Gavin and Stacey has the Welsh accents and it just works so well. Like droll Welsh, like with no emotion. Just say a statement in Welsh and just be really dry. And it's just really funny. Same way I feel like the New Zealand accent has the same power. Like they'll do stuff, they speak very droll and it's funny for some reason. It just really works for like dry comedy. So the idea of like combining, it was literally in the pitch statement I put to the people that paid for the film or funded it was, and also one last point, can you imagine a Welsh accent talking to a Scandinavian accent? I don't think that's ever happened before. We could be the first. We should do it.
It's perfect. Like I did want to watch more of this show.
Yeah.
I think a long form Netflix sort of the killing type of deal, but with two Welsh cops.
Yeah,
trying
the
to
Welsh
find a
cops.
Swan killer.
Like, yeah. I love the idea of the Welsh cops. Like,
oh, I think there's some
Norwegians
around here.
Yeah.
I used to have the Gavin and Stacey asked me get here. That's it. That's more Welsh.
It's tricky. It's really hard.
It's really sing-song. It's so, but the really dark part of it is you have these two women and they're trying to like make a change in their lives. Yeah. They're trying to do something big. And then all of a sudden an accident happens.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. I mean, that was with the central relationship. It was like, it was exploring the idea of how much can you really trust someone? A recurring theme is like something that looks like one thing, but isn't. Like, for example, in the story, spoilers, it looks like a swan, it's actually a goose.
Yeah.
It looks like a really serious, tough policeman. He's actually so cheery and excited to meet people.
Yes.
Like he has that switch at the end and he's like, oh, lovely to meet you. It was so nice. This is great.
And then he just butt drop kicks.
Yeah, gets rid of the swan. The goose, yeah. And with the friendship, it was like, this seems like a really solid friendship. It seems like these people get each other, are always there for each other, could finish those sentences, move everything together. But you know, you put a bit of pressure on it, put them outside their comfort zone. What does it really mean? Will they really stick with each other or will one person betray the other to save their hide? And that was the like testing that friendship that seemed so important. And, you know, like I said, they're about to make a change together. They're going to start a new life together. They're going to build a business together.
Well, and it's the great idea of actually beyond the accents, having them be foreign nationals in a foreign country heightens the sense of danger that they could possibly be in when they're discussing
it. They don't know all the rules. You know, they don't know the rules for this place.
No. Yeah. And then we have Google to thank for this. Yeah. We've just committed treason.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Yeah. What do they do? They kick it and run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We just found it like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It ran into us. Well, we know swans can be quite aggressive.
They can, yeah.
Swans and geese.
Yeah. Big birds. Don't trust them.
No, like it's a very quick, flashy, all the beats are hit. And it's just, where do you see the two main characters, I guess, after this?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of left a bit open-ended. It looks pretty bad. Looks pretty bad. And I think that the girl who's been betrayed, there was actually quite a lot of debate with different cuts of the film on which character do you end on.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's shot is that until the betrayal, the girls are always in shot together. They're always in the same shot, even if it's a little bit dirty. Like, but they're always together. They're never in a clean shot. After betrayal, they're only shown separately. So you never, like, it can only end on one girl. It can't end on both because they're never in the same shot. We never shot a two shot. It's always they're separate. They're clean.
Yeah, the break has happened.
The break has happened, and like literally, the camera pans from the two shot to a single, and then the betrayal happens. So then the question was, who do you end the story on? Who do you end it on? And it was like, what is more interesting to you? Is it the person who got betrayed, or is it the person who feels guilt for having betrayed someone? And I think I initially thought it was more interesting to stay on the other girl who did the betraying and lingering on her. And I sort of sent cuts out and was like, well, who do you want to end the film on? What is a really interesting question? Who do you think it should end on? It was kind of 50-50, but it was sort of agreed that like ending on the girl who got betrayed gives her momentum going forwards, and that she'll be the one to like do what she wants to do now.
Yeah.
And she will maybe break up from this friendship, but she will have the impetus. Like, she's the one who's deciding what happens next.
Yeah.
So I think it made sense to give her the one driving the car to lead the story out.
For sure. Yeah. And it's also a note on, does Shiver give her?
Yeah.
It's a whole nother thing. That's a heavy thing to leave on. You just had your friend almost tie you up for treason.
Yeah.
Does the friendship stand a chance? I mean, treason's pretty big. Bank robbery? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Goose killing? Definitely okay.
Yeah. No, it's tricky. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like, could you come back from that? What would you do?
If you were betrayed,
do you think you'd forgive it?
That level of betrayal is so harsh. I mean, yeah, you're in a very vulnerable state. It's a possibility. But I guess it's the other girl who did the betraying who has to do a lot of penance to her friend to prove her stripes. Like, I think, honestly, if they're wanting to start a business together, she's got to do 90% of the work now.
Yeah.
In order to
all
get
the paperwork
in.
For sure.
All the paperwork. And a really good name. If the name dies, we're dead here.
Yeah.
Because it was all, was it Crayfish and Dolphin?
It was sort of like Creative Crayfish Corporation.
What did you see them doing? That was the other thing,
the
too.
Business.
I wasn't really clear. Yeah, like the business, I was also kind of wondering, like, what would they be doing? Like, I in my head, I had graphic design for a while, and then maybe marketing.
I think marketing is a good one. I think I was always imagining, because I worked in Norway for a while, and it's quite a wishy-washy business world. People have roles that consultancy roles.
Oh yes,
where you really offer nothing, but you come in and you kind of like, we got a great way to get your business to ship-shop shape, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I imagine them being the kind of people who would be, like, supporting, like, or pitching, like, business solutions.
Yeah.
You know, that was the kind of thing. Something kind of, like, boring, but, like, they would really jazz it up.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things. What do you do? Well, you know, I go in and I make sure that everything is kind of collectively put together. And we look at the zeitgeist and all that. No. But what do you do?
We streamline things, you know? We motivate people. We get the staff, you know, to feel good. We've got some great warm-up exercises you can do in the mornings.
But what do you
team
do?
Yoga, you know?
Yes. It's one of those ones, you just have to have all the, like, lingo.
Yeah,
and the jazzy
buzzwords.
Words.
Yeah, yeah. Synergy.
It's all buzzwords.
Yeah. You know, that's what I think I imagined.
From beginning to end, how long did it take you to put everything together for this?
It's always a tricky question, that one, because it's, like, from the first draft to shooting, like, because I think I had the first draft... I remember doing like a table read of the first draft, like, I think it was like late 2019.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or early 2020. I think so, because I was still at film school. I never did like a table read that I brought the script in, because I was doing my graduation film at some kind of time at like a different short film. And I had this script came in, and so I had the two scripts, And this one was just a kind of better concept. It was a cleaner concept and like kind of worked really well. I knew I could do this film.
Yeah.
And the other one was a little more complicated concept, more like more difficult logistics and much harder story. So it was sort of like, I think I should push myself to do this other one. And I always have this one as a backup.
Yeah.
But then lockdown happened like March 2020 and my grad film got delayed because it was going to shoot that spring, like like end of March. And we went lockdown beginning of March type thing.
Yeah, it was right there.
Yeah. So then I was like sitting at home, not much to do. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to pitch this film to this Norwegian film fund that I got money from before to make a different short.
Okay.
And I thought, why? Because I think I could do, with the money they give, I think I could make this one. So ended up pitching this one to them, succeeded, and ended up shooting the backup grad film before the grad film anyway. So then I had the two films going at once, which was, it was good that you kind of ended a COVID year of doing two shorts in like 2 months. And both, I think turned out, I'm happy with both of them, but I'm glad I did this one this way and then the grad film the other way. So yeah, and so we ended up shooting October 2020. Okay-ish. And then I think the editing got a bit complicated because the grad film and this film were being edited at the same time, post-production at the same time, trying to get them both into the same grading and the same sound mix stuff. So they got kind of like, even though this one got shot earlier, it got kind of like into the same production schedule. And but I think they both ended up being done about spring 2021. So it's I guess it's like 2 years.
2 years.
A year and a half. But working on lots of different projects at the same time. So it's sort of like, I couldn't say like it took 3 months because it's bits and bobs doing other projects and other things I was doing. So, but yeah.
Well, it gave you a chance to do like two separate things, probably quicker and faster than you would normally do
I think so, yeah. And it's, I think I've always liked having multiple projects going on at once because when one gets slowed down for some reason, you just plow all your energy into the other one. So it's definitely suited me to be making those at the same time, basically. And yeah, they were both fun in different ways.
Well, do you find like sometimes stepping away and having to go work on the other one, then coming back to it gives you kind of a fresh perspective where you're like, why didn't I see this before? This is the solution.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In every stage of it, like from writing and also editing, definitely take a step back, like forget all the secrets of your timeline and then come in and watch it again from like, even just cause I hadn't seen the film for ages when I saw it yesterday. And then I was like, oh, like, why did I do that? Or like, what, why, you know, like, but at the time, I'm sure it made loads of sense.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I was like, yeah, pretty funny. Pretty good.
Oh, it does make loads of sense. That's what I love about it. Is I just, I don't feel there's anything gone wrong with it. Because, you know, when you walk into this movie, like you actually sit in, you're plopped in the middle. You know who everybody is right away, which is sometimes something even bigger movies can't do as well.
Yeah. But it was quite a fun shoot. Like, it was two nights in a row, to kind of like 5 p.m.s to 5 a.m.s. And night shoots, they do bring a certain atmosphere where like people do go crazy. People do like have proper dips and troughs of like their energy levels. Mine too. Like I feel like 3 a.m. is when I'm like, I have no idea what we're shooting anymore. I'm just going to trust that no one looks confused. So it's probably going well. And like, you know, I think the acting is going well. Yeah, this seems fine. Seems fine.
If they're dipping as well as you, are like, nobody will notice.
Yeah.
No one will notice.
But like, this was during the second lockdown in the UK. Nothing's open. You can't go out. I think there even was a curfew during this one. So if you couldn't really be out past 10 p.m. So in some ways, like getting to go shoot this film, even though we're all going crazy, like it was a social event. And like during, I think it was the second night, we had not that much lighting we could do because we had no plugs in the middle of nowhere. There's like lighting tubes called Asteras, and you can program all these like funky programs in them. And the gaffer had found like the disco lights one, and they were like playing like ABBA from the car, like blasting Dancing Queen. And the crew, I've got videos of the cast just like dancing around going absolutely mental. And I know they're burning energy they need for later, but you got to get them. Let them have their dance.
Exactly.
Let them have their moment. Let them go nuts for half an hour and remember where they are.
The swan song rave.
It was literally a swan song rave, and I put it on Instagram. I was like, by the way, like if you still want to go out and party these days, make a movie. It's the only way you're allowed to go outside and play.
Good advice. Something to know. Okay, so listen, kids, if you're ever worried about another curfew or another lockdown,
get making movies.
Just get into it. Create.
Yeah.
But that's an amazing story. Like, I tell you, I loved it. As soon as I started watching, I was like, huh, what's going on? And then as soon as the treason came up, it got me. And I was like, yeah. Okay, this is going to be so much fun. And the Welsh bicycle cop, that was the other thing. In the middle of nowhere, it's you hear sirens,
yeah.
And it's a bicycle.
Yeah. But again, that's the theme of it, was like something that seems like one thing, but is actually another. You see a blinking light in the distance, you think, God damn it, here comes the police. Mm-hmm. And it's just this lady on her little bike, you know, the Bruckstander plastered police on it, you know, and like it stops with a little dramatic little turn, you know, but like, yeah, I think that was also a bit debated too, of like how absurd or surreal to make the Welsh world, but I just thought like, I just love the idea of the person rocking up on the bikes. I was like, yeah. I kind of fought for it.
Well, there's some stuff that it's just, you can go absurd as long as you're in that universe and it's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Wales is so much fun. There's so many areas like the UK where people are just down for like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it can be absurd. And yeah. I mean, even here in Canada, in rural areas, the absurdity of stuff that happens is just crazy.
Sure.
So as soon as you're into a rural area, you can actually get away with a lot more than probably you could in a...
I think also because the film's perspective is from the two Scandinavian characters, mm-hmm. it means you can be a bit more playful with the reality they find themselves in, because they don't know the rules, so you don't know the rules. And I think that's maybe why you can sort of be a bit playful with like who these people are and like what they're...
Because they're the narrators, essentially.
Exactly, and that's why you can just think, that's why the audience will buy. And a lot of people would read the script or watch the film and then Googled afterwards, they want to know, is it true?
Yeah.
Is it true? And I think, but when you're in the film world, you buy it. I think you just believe mm-hmm. it because you're told it by the police and by Google. And so, because the characters have bought into it, I hope at least the effect is that the audience buys into that. Okay, this is the situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was very refreshing to find a kind of horrifying scenario where the phones are actually of use to make it happen.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's like, I've got no bars. Oh no, what will happen to us?
Yeah, no, we needed bars in this film for sure.
Absolutely.
That exposition out there.
Well, this has been fascinating talking to you. I love that short. It's so much fun. And again, if you want to do a Netflix where somebody kills a swan, like a 6-episode arc.
Yeah, yeah, you'd really drag this one out.
Yeah, have Gillian Anderson show up just trying to do her killing bit. But like just as like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern with the two people in the swan. Just pitching this to you now.
But it was such a fun movie to make. But I remember the first day, because it's shot in this like random ass town outside London where you take the train towards one of the northern airports, mm-hmm. get off halfway in like the woods.
Those train stations where there's nothing around?
Yeah, just the train stations and lots of trees. I took the train to get there. I think I went with the actresses. But the crew were coming in two cars with all the gear. And like I said, we started at like 5 p.m., which meant that they like got stuck in the traffic that we hadn't anticipated. So they literally showed up to this place, I think 2 hours late, if not more. And like, you don't have a lot of time. We're doing two nights. We've got a lot to do. And like, I'm obviously sitting there like pretty stressed out. Mm-hmm. And the actors were always like, oh, you know, he's such a calm guy on set. Like, I'm good at pretending everything's okay. In my head, I'm like, well, I'm losing shots. I'm losing time. This is never going to work. And like, I remember when the crew finally arrived and then the makeup people were getting started on the cast. Mm-hmm. And I just said like, I'm just going to go check out the location. I'm just going to make sure everything's okay. I just like kind of wanted a moment to myself. And I walked, it was like a 10-minute walk to the spot. And I was literally walking to myself thinking like, because at that point, I think I hadn't directed a film properly for like 6 months, 7 months. I'm like, I've been a bit out of emotions. And I was thinking to myself like, why do I do this? Like, why does anyone do this? It's so stressful. It's like, why would you put yourself through this? Like, it's like being on set is horrible. But literally, I think about an hour later, if not less, everyone's in position. The lighting's done. The swan's on the ground.
Yep.
I'm rehearsing with the actors. The two actors, they were absolutely brilliant. So much fun to work with those two. And when we were rehearsing, I remember thinking to myself, oh, no, wait. This is the best job in the world. This is absolutely the best job in the world. All I want to do is this.
The roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, I really went for the roller coaster. And I think about that moment quite a lot sometimes when you do get to those like stressful moments on set. Like, remember the good stuff, though. Because there is a lot of stuff that isn't that fun with filmmaking. But the good stuff is the best stuff.
Yeah, it can kind of overwhelm the bad experiences.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, like, and if you have time, it can be more good than bad. Like, the percentages add up.
Perspective, I think you just put towards the good stuff. But yeah.
Exactly. Well, gosh, it's been a pleasure to meet you. Anybody you can see Swan Song? definitely look into it. It's really good.
Yeah.
you will see the beginnings of a very nugget of an idea that eventually will become a very large thing, I think. I'm just pitching it.
The funniest thing was that I found out when I did the Q&A after the film was that that you guys in Canada hate geese.
Oh, yeah.
I just found that so funny.
They're mean as hell.
Yeah. And like, there was my perfect audience. It was a group of people who all like were quite happy to see a goose die. So yeah, I'm so glad I came and showed it to you guys and had a great time.
Yes, you had the perfect appreciative audience.
Yeah, there was no better audience I could have sat with, for sure.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, thank you so very much.
Thank you, guys.
And before we go to Jade's interview, we'll run the trailer for Swan Song, and we'll go right into the interview with Jade Andrasu.
Kan du tänka en så här söt liten kräftmaskott och så kommer den så här lilla näbben och så bara hej. Du kommer aldrig. Jag tror jag kött på något. No shit. Killing a swan is an act of treason. Du kan få fängelsestraff. Alla svaner tillhör The Queen. Som den riktiga The Queen av England. Ja, som den riktiga jävliga Queen of England. Och kör ett nu. Blom. Step out of the vehicle, please. Did you two happen to see what happened to that swan? It was there when we found it. Det var vårt ord mot hennes. Oss mot världen. I'm placing you both under arrest for swan slaughter. She was one driving. What?
Hi, this is Patricia Coughlin from Invasion of the Remake, here with Tony from Flix X-Raid, who's doing our sound for us, and with Jade, who
Hi.
Did The Things I Wish I Said But Never Did. And she did do that. She did say them.
Yes, that's the point of the movie.
So what made you decide to do this particular piece?
Well, right now I'm in grade 11, but all my friends are in grade 12 and they're all graduating. So for like the last 6 months, all I've been hearing is the things that they want to say, but like, they're like, oh, I shouldn't say that, but... And then I started piecing it together, realizing that, like, this moment of, like, changing from, like, being a youth to an adult isn't, like, something that just happens. Going from high school to university, change happens, like, all through your life. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be a really relatable movie for everyone, even just bringing back to adults who want to remember what it felt like to leave home and everything.
Exactly. And as I was watching this, that was exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Whereas, like, oh, now I'm going to be an adult now. Nobody gives you any codes.
No.
There's not a pamphlet.
Yeah.
Apparently, you're always just suddenly an adult. And I'm, let's just say, thigh deep in my 40s. And I have no idea what being an adult is either. So,
no, there is no pamphlet.
There is no pamphlet.
But yeah, it went really well. And I think I just wanted to really, like, really reiterate how, like, there is that guilt about leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And then realizing that it's something you have to do. That like involuntary change that comes with the emotion, that bittersweetness.
Bittersweetness, yeah. Starting your own life. And I mean, you'll start and restart your life throughout the rest of your life, if I'm honest. But with this, when you're making this piece, is this where you see yourself going in the future, like doing films, short films?
Yeah, this is something that happened all of a sudden. I wasn't ever planning on doing film. I've always loved film. But I was planning to go to university for journalism. And then I started taking these film classes just for fun in school. And my teacher just started really pushing me. And I didn't even think of it as a career, but he got me set up with some producers in Calgary. And they've been really encouraging as a career. And when I got involved in the film festival, I was like, this is where I'm meant to be, like meeting all you guys. That's like really encouraged it.
That's really awesome. Because I mean, we need people with new visions, new ideas
yeah.
coming out there. Do you have any ideas for a follow-up yet? Or
I have a few. I want to make sure I don't stick in the same realm of this mm-hmm. like sweet little, I don't know, timepiece moment. So just trying to like peel more from like my everyday life. Like this weekend, my car popped on the side of the highway,
Ooh.
The tire. I was like, oh, this would be a really great movie idea to talk about that. And just keeping more with things that like, I don't know, different things, not sticking to like one same thing. I do want to write about my family. I think that'd be really fun, is to write about just like a family dynamic
mm-hmm.
and going more into comedy too. I don't want to keep it sappy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, dramatic comedy is huge right now.
Yeah. Just trying like different things as much as possible, because that's where you can like learn the most.
Mm-hmm. And do you find like a lot of times now there's a mashup of genres?
Yeah.
In many things. So you're not really limited to one genre when you're doing one movie.
Yeah, I love those twisted ones where they're always two different genres just smashed together, I think they make the best movies.
Exactly. Because you're never on your right foot. You can keep the audience sort of on their toes and fully engaged.
Yeah, exactly. That was really hard for coming up with this movie, is I didn't know how to make it different so then their audience was still engaged. But I think the ending worked well with that.
It really did.
Yeah.
It really did. I thought I was following one person and I wasn't.
Yeah. I didn't plan for that until like the day before we were shooting. I was like, we need like something to spice it up. And then the actress came up with the idea. She's like, oh, what if we had like another character come in? And I couldn't find someone else to act in it real quick. So I was like, okay, I'll throw myself in there and we'll just film it and see how it goes. And if it ends up on the editing room floor, it does.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're going the Eli Roth Edgar route, right?
Exactly.
The right route.
It was planned.
It was planned, but like last minute planned.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Spontaneous is the right word.
Spontaneous planned. Excellent. So will you say a lot of your friends, they're leaving now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, like, what are your plans beyond that? Like, I guess I'm getting personal now.
Oh, yeah.
I go deep. This is just what I do. But I mean, are they going far away, many of them, or anybody staying around here?
A lot of them are. I don't think they're. I have one friend who is staying here in Calgary. Other than that, there's all of them are leaving, going out of province or out of country. That I don't know if that then is going to end up being the next movie, maybe a sequel to this, of having to me dealing with this on my own, which that is odd that you're like last year of high school, you're kind of doing it all by yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's hard stuff. Well, the last year of high school is hard enough as it is.
Exactly. So I don't know. I really want to like, it's almost like an ode to my friends, this film. Just like, I don't think they realized like them leaving impacted me that much. So it's an ode to them.
Mm-hmm. Like you say, you don't know if anything's going to end or anything's going to stop.
Yeah. Social media keeps everybody connected.
It really does, in the wildest ways.
Yeah. But I like it how I keep talking about how I'm going to stay connected with people, but then the whole film is about not wanting to stay connected to the people from your hometown.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, don't you find when you're kind of in a smaller community, it's the desire to break away and go to a bigger places and do bigger things.
Yeah, and find people that have the same interests as me. Because I think that's why I like the film festival so much, is everybody I'm talking to gets exactly what I'm saying. When I'm like, oh, this editing software, they're like, oh, yeah, I totally relate to that. Or if you say that to anybody else in high school, it goes right over their heads. They're like, what the hell is iMovie?
So, I don't know. iMovie? Adobe Premiere Pro.
It's the holy grail for editing.
Exactly. After Effects, are we doing this? Yeah, we are. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the film?
Shoot, put me on the spot like that. I hope that everyone who watches it enjoys it, which like that's all I can really ask for. But I just hope that everyone can find something to relate within it. That there is like, no matter like what sentence you pull from, there is a way you can connect it to your own personal life. So I just hope that somebody feels like a connection with the character, because that was my main goal, was having making sure that there was feeling this like sympathy, but also being able to put yourself in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially just I don't know. I hope that those who live in Okotoks notice all the places we filmed that and feel like it is from home, that home sense film.
Yeah, Okotoks, and then some of the driving shots. Oh, in Calgary. I was like, okay, been there and been there.
There's that highway.
There's that highway. It's so silly, but sometimes when you are a person who's watching movies, you're like, I know where that is, and it's very exciting.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, but it is.
It's comforting almost.
It really is. Well, it's sort of, it's really good to have people kind of around Okotoks who want to kind of showcase it, because so many times Calgary and our area is masquerading as somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so wouldn't it be nice to have somebody who's making films that this place is it, like it is what it is. It's being itself.
Yeah, it was good. I just liked how all the shop workers down on Main Street, they were so excited when we ran in. I was like, can I film here? I just need like 2 seconds of a shot. They're like, the store is yours.
That's awesome.
I remember like one person was like, get the logo in the background of the Main Street Market.
Mm-hmm. You have to. And that's the whole thing. Because there's some gems here that I don't think people know about and probably should be more aware of. So, I mean, it's a nice marriage of film and just like a love letter to this area.
Yeah. I'm surprised how open people were to film. I don't know. I just had this like belief that everyone would like shut me down or something, or that I was doing something that no one else in Okotoks was. Yeah, but it's like a whole community that you don't realize opens up once you start doing it.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it's not the New York. You're not walking here. It's like, what do you mean? You're gonna shoot in my shop? Nah, give me $50. I don't.
I was waiting for that. I was prepared for that.
But I mean, if you did, like going forward later on in life, you are going to go out, do bigger things. Do you feel that you would come back here to do something if you had a really good idea?
I think I would. I feel like that would be a really fun idea. If like after I've gone, I've made it in the world, maybe won my future Oscar. This is me manifesting that.
Mm-hmm.
But come back here to do like a sequel or a full-length movie to the things I wish I said but never did. And that'd be really fun. But also, like, everyone in my school knows that I'm really into film. So I just feel like that would be a really cool energy to come back here and be like, oh, mm-hmm. she used to walk around the streets with her camera, trying to do that old New York accent. But yeah, I definitely would. I don't know if I'd ever, like, come back and live here because I'm pretty set on leaving home. But I don't know. I'd definitely come back for, like, all these festivals, see all you guys here.
Well, it's a great idea. And like you say, there's lots of people who are willing to be hanging out and more film. And the more filmmakers, the better.
Exactly.
As far as I'm concerned.
It's an industry that just keeps growing, which is so great. Like, this, like, 5 years ago was not around with this many movies getting produced here. Yeah. Think about all the TV Well, now mainstream movies like Ghostbusters coming out, I feel like that drew a lot of people.
Exactly. But it's not here. That's the other thing. It
keeps
masquerading, right?
Yeah. So
we got to be ourselves, man.
Okotoks is a home.
Yeah.
Oh, I did do a movie before this as, like, I don't know, a practice movie for, like, a night school class.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it all about the Okotoks Big Rock.
Nice.
But it was really funny because the whole thing was called It's Just a Rock. And it was like, how can, like, a town be built on, like, the idea of a rock and then how it's not just a rock?
Well, there's an entire action movie industry built on a rock.
Yeah.
The Rock.
Yeah, so I could have had
it's
him.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
If I make the sequel to that, I'll have The Rock come back.
Yes.
To be The Rock.
The Imagine Rock versus that. The Rock.
That would, I would watch that. I hate
there
to admit
go.
That
we
I'd watch that.
Have your sequel, The Rock versus The Rock.
As long as you have one viewer, that's all you need.
Exactly. And it'll take place like where the Okotoks Rock, eventually the glaciers like bring it in.
Oh my
and
God.
And The Rock's like, oh no, the glacier's getting too close. And he has to stop it.
And then, but you get the whole story and history of The Rock.
Yes.
Of them coming to talk about the history of how this rock came. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Dwayne, he has this moment of realization of the culture that comes with it.
Exactly. And you know what? The Rock just wanted to be here. The Rock was like, you know what? I'm going to stop this home. I'm going to stay here and then a lovely place will grow up around me.
We could work with some editing to maybe have them combine as one so it turns into just the statue of Dwayne and that's how it ends. And the town changes its name to just Dwayne, the town.
Dwayne.
I know I've been quiet for most of this, but I just wondered because Dwayne The Rock Johnson used to play for the Calgary Stampeders, so I wonder if he's ever been to the Okotoks Rock.
He might have been. Oh my God, is that where he got his name?
That's where he got his name from. Are we starting conspiracy theories?
I think maybe. This podcast has made a different turn.
This has turned into TMZ.
Where The Rock really gets his name.
You're going to see this on like Global tomorrow. Local podcaster started a rumor.
The Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Well, he came back to shoot Jumanji. So
he came back? Wait, Jumanji was shot here?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
How did I
Second
not know
Jumanji.
That? Should have known that.
I remember it was big news because it was sort of like,
shoot.
It's again, it's the perfect place. Like Alberta, you have so many different places. They can go in the mountains. They can go to the woods. They can go.
It was Jumanji 2 because the second half of it's all on that glacial ice part. And so it was all filmed up in Louise.
Why don't people tell me this?
Well, we already have footage of him with a glacier.
Perfect. I bet they would let us reuse footage. Save time.
Yeah.
Save gas money.
Exactly. We were like, okay, listen, Dwayne, we can make this movie on a budget.
Is this what your podcast usually turn into, is planning out Dwayne shows?
We try to remake movies.
Okay,
we take old movies and we're like, okay, here's what you change. Do. So yeah, sorry. It's a little switch I cannot turn off.
No, I love it. I was like, I wonder if everyone else's episode turned into this.
The last one sort of did. I pitched a Netflix miniseries.
Oh, really?
Where two people killed a swan and Gillian Anderson and some Welsh cops try to do it a la The Killing.
Oh.
But funny.
Swan Song was here. The guy the guy who made it. Oh, that's cool. I loved that short.
It's so good, right?
Yeah, I feel kind of bad because I started watching it and I was rolling my eyes. I was like, I do not want to watch shorts today. I just want to go home. And then I got into it and I was so into it.
It's
I was like,
so
if they
good.
Don't make a sequel about the girl's company.
Yes, that's what we were talking about. You get this.
What happened to the girls? Is the friendship ruined?
We were discussing that. We don't know. We were wondering how. Okay, then maybe I'll give you this question that I got asked by the filmmaker. If you were the one who was betrayed, do you think you could get past that?
Oh, okay. I was thinking about this during the movie, too. I don't think I'd ever be able to get past that because the whole thing of like friends is you're like, you are like their ride or die. Mm-hmm. And you can almost think that even ties into my movie of how like a betrayal and a leaving of a friend, but I don't think I get it.
But it's not treason.
Yeah. But it's one thing how, like, in mine, they're like, I don't know, the leaving, it's like, I can get over that.
Yeah.
But if my friend, like, turned me in and said, oh, well, good luck out there, I don't think I'd get over that. Unless I thought the movie's going to go a totally different direction, and she was going to say, don't worry, if one of us isn't arrested, I can go pay bail. That's what had been my excuse.
There you go.
I don't know if it's a good or bad thing.
A third option.
I immediately thought of excuses I would have made as a friend who did that.
Yeah.
Been like, don't worry. I know a cop guy. I could have called him. So, a cop
there
guy.
There you go. Wow. Yeah. Well, and this ties into, like, the title of your movie, The Things I Wish I Said But Never Did. The things she wishes she said but never did was...
They all connect.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is becoming... Now this is the conspiracy theory, is every interview...
They're all connected.
Together. Oh, my God. What's happening now?
All filmmakers of the same brain, which is all intertwined.
The hive mind has begun.
We all fit the stereotype, I can tell you that.
Well, this has been so awesome. I'm so glad you were able to have an interview with us.
Yeah.
Because I really did enjoy your short, because it brought me back in time, then it brought me forward in time to other times where I was still thinking the same things. Like, are these friends still in my life? Like, there's some that have been there for 25 years. There are others
awesome.
That maybe two or three. But that's how life rolls, right?
Exactly. Rock and roll.
Yeah. Well, I will say, when I first read the title, I thought for some reason Things I Wish I Said But Never Did was a bunch of epic comebacks. Because
that
was always when I think I'm like, oh, I should have said this. And then you do it in the mirror later and pretend you said it. Or am I the only one who does that?
That would have been a better idea. I should have got in contact with you first before I made it.
Well, no, this is the sequel. We're just doing sequel. It's going to be a series.
An entire series of everything I wish I said. Maybe like at the grocery store when you say, mm-hmm. have a good day, you too. Shoot, shouldn't have said that.
Yes. Or here's your change, you too. I've done that.
You've done that?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Don't worry. I was a cashier for a bit. And okay, we do mock people that do that. Well, yeah. We'll immediately turn.
I was a cashier too.
You were a cashier?
I can't believe I did that.
Where were you a cashier?
Oh, many, many years ago at an IGA.
Oh.
We called it IGA.
IGA.
IGA. And then my friends worked at the UFA. That was UFA.
I work at No Frills, the banana store.
Yes.
Yeah. So we all have terrible store names.
Yes. Hey, we're just not flashy about our store names in Canada.
No, we're humble.
We're humble. You go in there, you buy your stuff.
I worked at Slaveway.
I used to work there too for a while. I don't know how many of us worked at Mostco.
These are awful.
And Stupid Store.
Stupid Store. I called it Stupor Store.
I love Stupor Store. But like, I actually like love the store. So I can't hate it.
I do like the fact that it does give you produce you don't normally see. Mm. And when I was younger, it was like rural Alberta. I didn't see an avocado till I was 19.
How is that possible? Iga didn't
I'm
prepare you.
I'm very old. Very old. Now we've got the elderly podcast in my day.
Avocados weren't common here.
Avocados weren't common. And you know, when you talked about leaving, it was like maybe to a farm outside town with the person who you just ended up with, because there was only so many people.
I wonder if Daniel would be offended by these accents that we're doing right now.
Oh no, this is just my old lady.
We should have done the entire podcast in British accents.
I was trying to do Welsh. It did not go well. I need to binge the entire Gavin and Stacey, and then I can do a little bit.
I don't think I could do that. A Welsh accent. I wonder if my future employer would find this, of me doing British accents with you on podcast.
You never know. This is the whole point. You've been in front of the camera. So like I say, you can do an Eli Roth level of stuff. Where you end up in front of the camera as well as behind it.
I would do that. I like being in front of the camera. I just like the control of being behind it more.
Exactly. And so, like, that's the thing. You can tell those stories. You can direct yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can be an auteur.
Ooh. I have a secret. I'm terrible at coming up with movie ideas. My mom comes up with them.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Do another podcast.
She'll say them and I'm like, ooh, movie.
Well, we're here to help anytime you need...
Exactly.
Movie
so that
ideas.
Ties
I mean, we
in.
We already have those that epic rock idea.
Yeah. So that ties into how I'm awful at ideas, but I came here to find more.
Yeah.
From you guys. I'll give you credit. Don't worry.
Sounds good. Well, I'm great at ideas, bad at follow through. So
we are the perfect team.
There we go.
So when it goes to the Oscars and Dwayne wins his first.
Yeah.
And he'll be up there going, Thank you to that podcast. Yeah. You started it all for me. Shout out to Okotoks.
Yes. Or Dwayne. Dwayne. Yeah, it wouldn't be Dwayne. What would we call it?
Okotokian.
Dwayne-a-tokes?
Dwayne-a-tokes. How can we mosh those words? Okay, yeah. Rokotok? No.
John Tokes sounds weird.
John Tokes.
Oka Johnson?
Ooh, Pebble till Boulder. And he starts small in his career.
Yeah.
And comes back. A little erosion?
Yes. I have to say, I was really disappointed when I found out that his daughter's name was not Pebbles.
That's cruel.
Well, no, it's a great name. It was from the Flintstones. She was one of Pebbles. The best characters.
Oh, I was thinking, like, cruel that you didn't name her.
No, I thought it would be cool if
Pebbles,
she named
her Pebbles Johnson. That would have been cute.
Pebbles Johnson.
That sounds like a celebrity.
Yeah.
Pebbles Johnson. Seems cool.
She had a rock band in the later cartoons when she became a teenager.
Oh my God, why isn't she in a girl punk rock band? Maybe because she's three, but these are the questions we have to start asking. True. Now.
But he does have an older daughter who could be in a punk band now.
We're just tying everything to The Rock, even though he's forgoed the name.
I know. Well, you know, that's because he knows about Okotoks.
Fair enough. Fair enough. He doesn't want to intimidate us.
Exactly.
Do you have any movies on the go?
Oh, no. I have no movies on the go. I just have ideas of movies on the go.
Oh, okay. And you've already shared all of them? Oh, okay.
But yeah, no. Invasion of the Remake podcast, if you ever are looking for ideas.
Okay,
we've got them there. There's over 300 episodes.
Oh, awesome. And you talk about, like, movie ideas?
Movies that have been remade and movies that we want to remake.
Oh, fun. Okay, yeah. Thoughts on remaking movies? Because that's pretty controversial. Some people think a movie should stay a movie or the sequel. Because I'm against sequels.
Yeah, well, we go both ways. It depends. Sometimes if they do it right, it's a lovely revisitation. If they do it wrong, we get angry.
Yeah, I think a remake is good if you add to the story, not just repeat it all. Because then there's no creativity in that. The whole point
you
is a movie. Movie's supposed to be creative. That if you can watch a movie and go, oh, imagine if they did it this way, and you did an entire twist to the remake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What is the worst remake you've seen? I'm now interviewing you on this podcast.
I know. Now you're interviewing me. How did this turn around?
I don't know.
Twists and turns. Oh, God. There's so many.
Of the worst ones?
Oh, yeah. There's so many that were just from Disney. So bad. Well, okay. This one was a really one that it broke. There was two very definite camps on it. Point Break, I thought, was really bad as a remake.
What's Point Break?
What's Point Break?
I don't know what Point Break is.
God, I'm so old.
who's the lead actor?
In the original, it was Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze.
Oh, okay. I should know this.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Ew. Yeah, in the remake, I just forgot.
I'm 2005. Hot Fuzz. I've also never seen
and
Hot
Ed
Fuzz.
Oh, okay. we have so much to show you.
You're so young, and I'll forgive you because you're just starting your movie journey, and I've learned that there's thousands that I haven't seen either.
Yeah.
Because there's millions of movies out there.
Yeah.
Watch Point Break, the original, not the remake.
Yes. Okay. Original, not remake.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves.
I love Keanu Reeves.
There you go.
I also have not seen a lot of his movies, though.
Okay. Well, this is, like, very early on his career. Directed by Kathryn Bigelow.
Okay.
Female director. But she nails it.
Yeah, I always think I know a lot of movies until someone brings them up and I go, shoot, I haven't seen that one either. But I'm always like, I'm usually ahead of the game.
It's okay. We're doing a deep pull.
I rewatch too many movies. They should remake. I don't know if they should. I don't know. If there's like a Wes Anderson movie I'd watch a remake of. Not enough people know about them and they need to bring them back. Mm. He needs to make more because I didn't like his last one.
Oh, I didn't see his last one.
It was bad. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I think if you do remake them, you have to do them Fantastic Mr. Fox level, where they have to be stop motion, live to stop motion.
That'd be kind of cool. Wait, yeah, because the original is live?
Yeah, and then make a stop motion version.
I would watch that. That'd be pretty good.
And then make one with puppets. And then make one with just animals and suits.
I'd watch like that sock puppet orchestra. Did you guys see that one that was shown yesterday? Imagine you did that, but it was Fantastic Mr. Fox. That'd be pretty good.
That'd be pretty
good.
And
I will melt your mind by saying, well, maybe in a year, watch Meet the Feebles.
Meet the Feebles. Is that like Meet the Fosters?
No.
Oh. Shoot, I'm too young for this.
It is. Oh, God. Who did Lord of the Rings?
Why is
it gone? Peter Jackson. It's Peter Jackson before Peter Jackson was Peter Jackson.
Oh.
It's something dark, but you must watch.
Okay. I'm surprised. I don't mind the dark movies. They're pretty good.
It's, yeah. I'm just going to say prepare yourself.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to give you any spoilers at all.
Oh, did you guys watch the like scary twisted ones yesterday?
I programmed all of them, so I've seen every single piece.
How were they? Because they looked terrifying at kickoff.
There's definitely one that I loved that is one of the ones that we had to put major
trigger warnings
on.
The little girl?
No, not the little girl one.
Everyone's talking about that one.
That one was also pretty terrifying, but it was the Taiwanese one.
Oh, okay.
Where it's definitely got rape and body horror and all sorts of stuff on it. But it is visually stunning.
Yeah.
And terrifying to the point where you're like, this is horrifying to watch while showing almost next to nothing.
Oh my God.
One thing to remember as a filmmaker is everybody's tiny little lizard brain can fill in the worst possible thing that you could ever show.
Wow. Yeah. That's like, oh, what's that one? They do Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recently watched that the other day. This is so weird.
I've also never seen that one.
Oh, you have to get on this and then we'll get back. You know what? We'll give you a list. Then we'll circle back.
Oh, and we'll go through and rate them all.
Yeah.
And I'll give my honest opinions. Oh, but you gave your worst remake. Okay, ultimate best.
Ultimate best? Suspiria was really well done as a remake. I thought it was pretty fantastic. It was a giallo. Those are hard to remake.
Okay.
But it was visually, it was in the same realm. It was frightening. It was terrifying. It was much better than I could have possibly expected.
So now I know when I make remakes of all my films from now, I'll watch Suspiria.
Yep.
And pull elements from it.
There we go. We'll watch the two together and then you'll see kind of how they...
What works and what doesn't work, especially when we do this entire... I'm thinking it's a trilogy for our rock movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can really pull off of our ideas with that. Grow it. Make it a cult following.
Yes.
It's bigger than Pulp Fiction.
It is. It's rock fiction.
The new age indie kids, it will turn into their Bible.
That's the idea.
That's the goal as a filmmaker.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we've put our manifesto out there, everybody.
Yes.
You've heard it here first.
Don't be surprised when it's released.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jade.
Thank you so much for calling me in.
Oh, this is an awesome. I love this. This interview went peaks and valleys. We didn't know where we were going.
Nope.
But we ended up in some wild places. And thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I hope to see some movies that you create in the next little while where it will take me into places I never expected.
Oh, thank you so much. Great. This is fun.
All right. That's the interviews. Thanks for joining us this week. Next week, we'll be... back to our regularly scheduled programming. And hopefully we'll have some more new content because we're going to be out to HorrorCon very shortly. And we're going to try to get some content from HorrorCon here in Calgary. Don't forget to follow us on our social media at Invasion Remake on Twitter, Invasion of the Remake on Facebook and Instagram, and Invasion of the Remake at gmail.com. Check out our website. It is invasionoftheremake.wixsite.com/podcast. And over there, there's a link to our store. And on the page, you can find a button that'll take you to our store. Hit that store button, and it'll take you to our TeePublic page where we've got all sorts of great content. We've got t-shirts, mugs, posters, PPE masks, and so much more. Lots of comfortable wear for the summer. Get yourself a tank top. It's hot out. Get yourself a tank top and get out there in shorts and do some hiking in an Invasion of the Remake tank top. If you use that link and you don't want something from our store, just keep shopping. You will get a portion of the sales regardless of whether you buy something out of our store or not. But if you like what we do, please support us by buying something in our store. It helps keep this show free every single week. And we sure do appreciate it because... It does cost a little bit of money to keep this going, so every little bit helps with hosting fees and equipment maintenance and replacement and that sort of thing. So thank you very much for joining us for this special episode of Invasion of the Remake, and we'll be back next week. Until then, I've been Jason. Somewhere he's always Sam, and she's always Trish. We are out of here.